Thank you, Tom, for reading, and thank you all for coming along. It's great to see you all here, especially in summer holiday season. Sorry if you're the ones left manning the office while everyone's away, but on the plus side, at least we get to look at this question together. And if you're new here or exploring the Christian faith, it's especially good to see you. Please do come and say hello afterwards if you'd like to. So the question we're thinking about this lunchtime is, aren't all religions the same? Aren't all religions the same? Now, this is not a modern claim. This is the sort of thinking that appears in ancient Greek philosophy and Hindu thought. But the cultural moment we're now in reflects the sort of postmodernism of the 20th century. That's the idea that there is no absolute truth. Everyone decides truth for themselves. And anyone who claims to have the truth, so goes postmodernism, is seen as narrow and making a bid to dominate or oppress. And we see this approach predominating in the kind of pluralist societies we live in now, especially in the West. So the view that's being expanded today in today's question goes something like this. Look, we all want to get along and live at peace with one another. So that means we shouldn't offend people. We should all treat each other with respect. All views are valid. No one should claim to have a monopoly on the truth. That's narrow and exclusive. And religion is divisive when its teachings are strongly held and defended. Look at all of the violence and wars that have been waged in the name of religion, and look how religion's been used to oppress throughout history. So you shouldn't say that your religious belief is right and others are wrong. That's not respectful of others' views, and it's not the way we're going to get along. And in any case, spirituality, the concept of God or a higher power, is so enormous that it can't be encapsulated in one belief system. So let's just agree that all religions are equally valid, and we won't have any trouble. Sound familiar? You read this everywhere, in newspapers, articles by social commentators, etc. Some of you here may also be of that view. Madonna summarized it well. She said, "I do believe that all paths lead to God. It's a shame that we end up having religious wars because so many of the messages are the same." So let's just all agree that all religions are the same, equally valid. You've probably heard the description that people often use for this. All religions are just different paths up the same mountain. It seems inclusive. It seems like a reasonable way to think, doesn't it? Well, I'm afraid to say it's not. This is not actually a reasonable way to look at religious beliefs. And this is our first point on the handout, if you're following on the handout. To say all religions are the same is factually incorrect and ignores many significant differences between them, not least that Jesus makes unique claims which are at the heart of the Christian faith. Now, there are hundreds of religions in the world. I recently heard of one called Pastafarianism, the Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster. It started off as satire, but it's now apparently got some genuinely registered followers, some of whom have got away with wearing colanders on their heads for driving license photos, saying it's religious headwear. Now, I'm not going to give you an intricate rundown of all of the differences between the world's religions, but I think it might help at the start to illustrate some very significant differences between the world's major religions that you may be familiar with. Let's take the question of who Jesus is, for example. Christians believe Jesus is the Son of God, that he is divine. Islam says explicitly that Jesus is not the Son of God, that he is not divine, and that's the complete opposite of Christianity. Islam claims Jesus is merely a prophet and that he's not even the last prophet. They believe he is superseded by Muhammad. Judaism believes Jesus was neither God nor a prophet. They're still waiting for a Messiah, a savior, whom Jesus claimed to be. And while Christianity, Islam, and Judaism do all agree that there is only one God, different God, Hinduism believes there are many gods. So on this point of who Jesus is alone, I hope you can see that it's not true to say that all religions are the same. But just to underline this, look down with me at Jesus' words in the passage that was read, verse 6. It's also on the handout. Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus' words completely refute the idea that all religions are different paths up the same mountain. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is saying that he is the only way to God. the only way to be saved and to go to heaven is through him, by his death and resurrection, which have paid for our sins for all of time. So he's saying that we are not saved by a religious system or by our actions or by our efforts. We are saved by a person, him, Jesus. This is radically different to any other religion, most of which say that your salvation relies on your own efforts, how you live your life. Now, sure, Islam, Judaism, and Buddhism, and Hinduism may have some good moral teaching, love your neighbor, show compassion, give to the poor, help those in need. But no other religion or faith has a God who says, I love you so much that I've come down to earth, I've led a life of suffering, and I've died for you on a cross so that my blood could redeem you of your sins. I have died for all of mankind for all eternity. So Jesus here is making a unique, exclusive claim that the only way to be saved is by trusting in his death, not in our own efforts. No one in any other major religion or faith has ever made such a staggering, megalomaniacal claim. And that is Jesus' point. He doesn't want to be able to be put in a category with all the others. Now, C.S. Lewis, many of you may have read his Narnia books. He wrote many books. He was a Christian. And he famously summarized Jesus as either mad, bad, or God. He said that for Jesus to make the enormous claim that he does, he's either mad or a liar, or he is God. But he can't just be like Muhammad or Moses or Buddha or any other good moral teacher, because he's claiming to be the only God. So he's either inferior to all the others because he's a liar or he's deluded, or he's far superior because he's God. But he's not the same. He can't be the same. So it's simply inconsistent with the claims of Jesus to say that all religions are the same. Now, focused here on Jesus, you might expect that in a Christian church. But equally, there are many other ways in which religions differ. For example, different religions approach to the problem of sin, how we achieve salvation, the value of sacred texts, and whether there are, the value of sacred texts and whether they are definitive, final revelation, and many other aspects besides. These throw up huge differences between not only the major religions, but many others too. So to say that all religions are the same simply ignores the facts. Okay, you may say, I can see that there are differences between religions, but what about the issue of narrowness and exclusivity? I'm moving now on to point two on the handout if you're using it to follow. So followers of Christianity, Islam, and Judaism each believe that their faith or religion is the truth and that this is the only way to know God. But they're often accused of being narrow and arrogant because they're making what the pastor and theologian Tim Keller calls an exclusive truth claim. Saying you know the truth is an exclusive claim, and it's a huge claim to make about a subject that is seemingly so vast. You're saying you have a superior view over reality, which our postmodern pluralist society says you shouldn't do. So Christians, Muslims, and Jews in particular are often seen as narrow and dangerous. Now, the Western world in particular says, get with the times, stop being narrow, exclusive, and divisive. You need to say that all religions are the same. No one has the whole truth. And Oprah Winfrey summarized it like this. She said, there are millions of ways to be a human being and many paths to what you call God. There couldn't possibly be just one way. But how does she know? How does Oprah know that there couldn't possibly be just one way? Well, let's just take a step back and do a thought experiment. How could all religions actually be the same? What would that imply? Well, it would either mean that none of them were true, in which case it wouldn't matter which one you followed because they're all the same, they're not true, or that they are all true, that they're all different paths up the same mountain leading to the one God at the top. The thing is, though, that both of those views are also exclusive views, either that none of them are true or that they're all true. Those are exclusive truths. So if you hold the view that all religions are the same, what you're saying is that you can see the whole picture. So you're saying you have a superior view of the truth than anyone else. You can see the whole picture while others can't. But that's the very thing that Christians, Muslims, and Jews are being criticized for, saying that they see the whole picture, saying they have the only truth. So you're actually, if you hold this view, being hypocritical because you're doing the same thing. It sounds inclusive and broad-minded to say all religions are the same, no one has the whole truth. But actually, that is an exclusive truth claim, just like the ones Christianity, Islam, or Judaism, or many other religions are making. And perhaps the best illustration of this is the frequently used picture which I mentioned earlier, that all religions are just different paths up the same mountain. How is it that someone could say this with certainty? The only way that you would be able to claim this is if you were in a helicopter hovering over the mountain, seeing all of these paths leading to the top. Otherwise, how could you see the mountain to make that statement? So what you're saying is, you can see the whole picture. So the bottom line is, everyone has an exclusive take on spiritual reality. Everyone is making an exclusive truth claim. We just need to admit it. Okay, you might say, it's hot, I'm exhausted, my head is spinning. Do they serve alcohol at the back? Well, where does that leave us? Everyone has a take on spiritual reality, a worldview, even if you don't acknowledge it, even if you don't believe in a God, and even if you don't have a name for it. And that worldview, that exclusive truth, whatever you want to call it, is based on a set of assumptions, and they are our sort of religious beliefs about life. Okay, they're not necessarily beliefs that mean you go to a religious building or pray to a God, but these beliefs are actually your answers to the big questions of life. Who am I? Why am I here on this planet? How should I treat people? What's the point of my job? What does it look like to lead a good life? What happens when we die? We all live our lives according to the answers we give to those questions. Every person is living inside some story that tells them where the world came from, where it's going, and what their part in it is. But the real question is, which of those stories about the world is actually true? So everyone, whether they recognize it or not, is making an exclusive truth claim by the way that they think and live their life. And everyone thinks that their truth is better than anyone else's. That's why they live it. So what's the solution? The solution is to determine which story, which version of the truth stands up to testing and will allow us to live at peace with one another. We need to seek the truth. So let's just think about the truth for a second. We all care about truth. We actually all want truth. You may say, well, we live in the West in a postmodern society, and we're influenced by the idea that there is no absolute truth. Everyone decides truth for themselves. You know, you hear people talk in terms of, you have your truth, I have my truth. That doesn't actually work in practice. To say that there is no absolute truth is an absolute truth. It's a statement of fact, which postmodernism says doesn't exist. So postmodernism actually contradicts itself. And actually, people only really say there's no such thing as truth when it's something they don't really care about. People do actually care about truth when it's something they do care about. Imagine you're today wrongly accused of committing a robbery on the steps of St. Paul's Cathedral behind us at 1:15 p.m. this lunchtime. Now, you were here in this church at St. Nick's, so it couldn't have been you. But the prosecution in court says, in your truth, you were in St. Nick's church. But in our truth, you're outside St. Paul's committing a robbery. Now, you're either here or you're outside St. Paul's. There's only one truth. In that situation, you believe in truth, all right, and you want people to know the truth. But you can't pick and choose when truth exists, whether truth exists or not. You can't pick and choose when it exists or not. And Jesus also cares deeply about truth. He completely refutes this postmodernist idea of different truths. He wants us to seek the truth about life. Look back with me at Jesus' words in John 14. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I am the truth, he says. Not a truth or your truth, but the truth. He's claiming there is only one truth, and it's him. He is the truth about life. He gives the answers to the big questions of life that we ask ourselves. His is the story that tells us where the world came from, where it's going, and what our part in it is. This truth positions him as the creator of the universe, the source of life throughout all time for all eternity. And the only way to live is through acknowledging him as God and trusting in his death and resurrection for our sins. But how can you know that this is the story on which to base your life? How can you know Jesus is the truth? Well, people follow Jesus because they've examined the historical claims. His ministry, the eyewitness testimony, whether the resurrection stands up to scrutiny, and they found them to be credible. They think they're true. And what they then discover, once they trust Jesus, is that his way is a way of truth, love, humility, service, and self-sacrifice that reshapes how they live. And this was my experience. I took the decision 20 years ago to trust Jesus, that he was telling the truth. It was after much questioning and much research. I didn't want to spend my life living a lie or a superstition. And I looked at all sorts of other religions and faiths, and I didn't believe that they stacked up. And having decided that Jesus was telling the truth, I made a commitment to live according to his teachings and example. I had to because of what I now believed. It's not a perfect parallel, but imagine you went to the doctor with a pain in your chest, and the doctor examined you and said you were in danger of heart failure and that you needed to eat less red meat and ice cream. Now, you might be disappointed, but you would have discovered the truth about the pain in your chest, and you would feel compelled to act. Jesus came to earth and told us all that we had all rebelled against God. We therefore all deserved eternal separation from God, but that he was going to rescue us by dying for us and enduring the penalty that we deserved. And he did that. We did nothing. So, if you've tested the evidence and believe that Jesus' truth is the truth, and as a result you commit to follow his example, you won't be superior to others. You can't be. His truth humbles you. We were helpless. Jesus came to save us. So you can't use Christianity to oppress. But why then have people in history used Christianity to justify violence, oppression, and terror? For example, what about the Crusades, the Spanish Inquisition? That was people using Christianity to terrorize and oppress. Absolutely, it was. And people have regrettably done appalling things in the name of Jesus and of Christianity. And that is because they didn't actually trust Jesus' story. They departed from Jesus' teachings and example. And the standard by which the world condemns the Crusades is indeed a Christian standard. It is Jesus' teaching. So when did Jesus ever call people to terrorize and oppress? He didn't. He called us to love our enemies and humbled himself to die on a cross for people who didn't love him. So people who try to use Christianity to oppress and dominate for their own ends are contradicting what Jesus did and taught. And Jesus' truth that he's won eternal life for you in heaven through his death and resurrection, therefore, can only humble you. If you truly believe it, because Jesus came to save when we were helpless, you can't dominate and oppress. All you were doing was following someone who served humbly. And the proof is in the pudding, because I see Christians who are committed to following Jesus, and they lead servant-hearted, sacrificial, other person-centered lives with no agenda. And every day I live increases my view that Jesus Christ is God, that he's the only way to know God. And it's my prayer that everyone here should also have this confidence. So if you're here as a follower of Christ, I hope I've encouraged you. And if you're here as a skeptic or a searcher, or you simply wandered in off the street with a colander on your head, I hope you will have questions and want to look into Jesus' claims. He is, by most estimations, the most influential person who has ever walked the earth. The dateline is based on him. We are in 2026, which is 2,026 years, give or take, after his birth. He's worth investigating. Billions through history have been convinced he's telling the truth. But he doesn't want you simply to believe blindly. He wants you to be convinced. Jesus gave us this invitation. He said, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened." So this summer, why don't you examine Jesus' claims? For some, you may have looked at the Bible in your school days, but not really since, and certainly not as an adult. So why not read one of the eyewitness accounts of his life? It will take you no time. They're by the door. At least you can then make an informed decision as an adult on whether you believe him or not. And I pray that you will. I'm going to finish with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to look at this, your son's claims today. Please would you help us to see that Jesus is the way to you, the truth about this world, and the source of life. And we pray that through the spread of your gospel of good news, you would bring peace to this violent, oppressive world. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.